Welcome to The Weekend. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. We are getting ready for a holiday weekend that weather-wise promises to be as good as ever through Sunday's Labor Day. And 10 o'clock on Monday morning, we're going to have the largest Labor Day parade in the country, apparently, Paul. And it's been a while since I've participated in it, but it's a major event.
Yeah, same here. I know our union has routinely had a presence in that parade each and every year.
Yeah, they used to. They're representatives. So for those that don't know, we're in a union, SAG-AFTRA. After we clean up, AFTA, yes. It's
what was that, the American Federation of Radio and Television Actors?
Artists,
okay.
Yeah, and then
Screen Actors Guild.
The Screen Actors Guild, so SAG-AFTRA, which sounds like something that happens to you as you get older.
Right.
But
which is nice.
But a salute to all the working men and women, of which we have a great background here in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh in particular. A lot of proud families, and it's a good day. After what transpired in Minnesota yesterday, this 11-minute video, and I know Marty cautioned people, it was horrifying, but...
Well, you just mentioned to me that you looked at the...
I watched it, the whole thing, 11 minutes.
11-minute video, the video manifesto.
And this is the 23-year-old that perpetrated the massacre and the horror in that church.
Now, so police said yesterday that they had deleted the video on YouTube, so this must be a duplicate version that's making the rounds.
Somebody got it and put it back out. And on one hand, I'm sorry I watched it.
Well, when you told me you did, that's what I was thinking.
But I wanted to understand, you want to know why someone would do this to children in particular, in a church, in a school where he went, where his mother had worked.
Well, I've got two words to describe that. I think the words are resentment and rage.
But he does, even though he said, in this video, as horrifying as it is, he said the kids deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts by addressing his family and friends, and this is from the manifesto. I don't expect forgiveness, and I don't expect any apologies. I have to hold much weight to my family and close to me. I do apologize for the effects my actions will have on your lives. Please know that I care for you all. And it actually goes into this whole mother and father. I'm sorry I didn't turn out the way you wanted. You didn't fail me. You gave me so much. I appreciate. And it goes on to talk to his siblings and friends. And then the wheels come off. He said, I wanted this for so long.
Mm.
And that's where it gets really disturbing, is why would you want this? But then he goes on to describe, I'm not well. I'm not right. I'm a sad person haunted by these thoughts, and they won't go away. I know this is wrong, but I can't seem to stop myself. I am severely depressed and have been suicidal for years. Only recently have I decided to perform my final act against the world.
Against the world.
Why children?
And why not pick out the place where you used to go to school, where your mother used to work, and go after the most innocent and helpless in our society?
So, therefore, there is obviously a severe mental illness. And
unquestionably.
There's no other way, because just being angry doesn't explain it. And he goes on to say, quote, I think I am dying of cancer. It's a tragic end, as it's entirely self-inflicted. I did this to myself. I cannot control myself, and I've been destroying my lungs with vaping.
Mm.
And it goes on to talk about why he believes he has cancer. And, of course, there's no indication that he's been, A, on any psychotropic drugs, or B, drugs prescribed for depression or mental challenges.
It would be interesting to know what the family did understand about the depths of his difficulties and if he was receiving any kind of A, mental health treatment, and B, medication or therapy.
And then he goes on, he, you know, writes I love you hearts to his mom, dad, family members, friends, and then signs this. And P.S., I can't read this exactly. Oh, he's admonishing somebody in the family. You need to get over and make up with mom. She loves you. You need to grow up and accept that time just keeps blank, blank moving. So in other words, he, even at this moment where this is his, this is a suicide note,
mm-hmm.
as well as, I don't know how you describe a manifesto, but he doesn't ever really say, or I didn't see why he targets the kids.
There are other writings that were written in a very cryptic kind of a code that some people have been able to determine what that code is and make sense of the, you know, what he was seeing in these other writings. And that may point at some time, that may point to a more specific motive for the, you know, but clearly, I mean, none of this makes any sense. It's, he's all over the place in this suicide note.
Right. And he starts by showing you the manifesto in this video. Hope you can read this, he says. You never see him. It's shot from his phone, apparently. And then after the four pages of this / manifesto suicide note, he dumps a handful of bullets on the papers.
Oh, God.
And then he reveals multiple weapons. You name it. Even a smoke grenade that he has attached to a 2x4 that he plans to block the door with. On each of the weapons are multiple writings and scribblings, including to kill the president.
Kill Donald Trump and for the children.
And all of these other, you know, intangible, unintelligible things that he has said and done and targeting. So it's so, I'm sorry I watched it, really.
Mm.
But I wanted to try to understand because it's so horrific.
Well, I look at it this way. A number of our listeners now have a pretty good idea and don't need to watch the video because of your willingness to do it. So thank you. I'm not going to watch it.
And apparently, at least for now, the weapons he had with him at the church, he obtained legally. And I assume that may be the case for all the weapons he showed, which were, you know, assault rifles, handguns, different handguns, shotguns, you know.
And my question is, how is all that weaponry not picked up on at some point?
By his family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that
he may have been hiding it from.
I don't know that he lived with his parents at the time. So still a lot more to come, but just a horrible incident, and too many of these happen. For the Drive at 5, top stories driving the day's news weekdays with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van. And if you want to reach out to us, the NASCO Roofing Instant Access is a click away. You can email us anytime at instantaccess@kdkradio.com. Well, Paul, you're getting ready for your vacation for next week. That's a nice thing to be looking forward to.
I am looking forward to it.
You doing anything exotic?
I was thinking about maybe taking a little short train trip.
A train trip?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've got an Amtrak voucher that I've got to use up.
Where would you go?
Time's a waste. I thought it was going to go down to Harper's Ferry. I've been trying to do that for a little while now.
Where would you get the train? Here? And
yeah, you pick it up at Pittsburgh, and it stops on its way to Washington. It stops in Harper's Ferry. And when it did, the last time I went through there on the train, I was fascinated. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of history there, as you know. Basically, it's the beginning, the first eruption before the Civil War started. And it's the lower, they call it, I think they call it the lower town. Lots of great old buildings from the 1800s, and there's a lot of scenic beauty. There's a trail to walk, and the rivers come together there, kind of like they do in Pittsburgh. I just think it would be fun. You leave here early, and you arrive there at like 11:30 or so, and then the next train coming back to Pittsburgh is around 5:30. so you can get out, walk around, and enjoy the town for 5 or 6 hours and then go back home.
Good for you. If you've ever taken a train ride, it's really relaxing.
Very much.
All right. Every Thursday at this time, we check in with the food editor with Pittsburgh Magazine. Christy Graver is visible on the radio with our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company and also now on our KDK Radio YouTube page. Christy, good morning.
Good morning. They're doing work in my apartment building, so it sounds like there's a train in here. So apologies if you hear that.
Have you ever taken a train ride?
Well, I've been to the Trolley Museum.
That's close.
In Washington County. And I took a train in D.C., so places like that.
I did a trip once called Riding the Rails in the Rockies. And
that was fantastic.
And you know, it's nice. Cool. You just kind of sit back and it's, you don't have to worry about driving, obviously. You just kind of enjoy the day.
That would be great for me. My car broke down yesterday, so I'm all about trains today, Larry.
Trains, planes, and automobiles.
Yeah. I should wear my t-shirt today. Yeah, I think I will.
All right. We're going to talk. You know, today is National Red Wine Day, so this winery story kind of fits. So tell us about what's going on. Don Etna.
Yeah, this is called Propin Corks, Propin, like propagating plants, because this is a Pittsburgh plant company outdoor space. It's on 21 Grand Street in Etna. It's open from 4 to 9 Thursday, 4 to 10 Friday, and 3 to 11 Saturday. And it's just like a really cool backlot space. There's like the hanging lights. They have a full bar, Porch View Winery. They have cocktails and, you know, all the PA made libations and local beers. It's just like a nice place to go and hang out and drink wine and, you know, hang out in person with each other. So a cool place. And it just opened last weekend. So, yeah, give them some grace.
Yeah, we've heard about a lot of the micro brews, and you're the expert. For me, you are the leading expert on.
I try.
But these wineries, too, have popped up in the last few years around town.
Yeah. So this one's it's like based in Butler, and all these people are from Butler. They know their stuff, and it's just a really good thing for the North Hills, especially because we don't have a lot of cool stuff like this. So, yeah.
The last time I attended an event at the Hollywood Theater in Dormont was when they showed the documentary about Mr. Rogers. And I always thought, and I love how parts of town have been renovating theaters. You've seen what they've done in Oakmont, the Sorreo family.
Really?
And then I just this summer was in Vandergrift. They have the Casino Theater, which is 125 years old.
Beautiful.
But Hollywood comes back to Dormont in a big way.
I love this place. Actually, I went there on Monday to get like a sneak peek, and I cried because that's what I do. My favorite memory at the Hollywood Theater in Dormont on Potomac is I saw Randy from A Christmas Story. We have the same birthday, December 17th. And he signed my mom's meatloaf recipe like right there with a leg lamp right there. It was like a big moment for me. So the Hollywood is, you know, big hearts. So they're redoing it and they're doing it even better than before. It's going to be an atmospheric theater, which means the ceiling is going to have like starlights in it. It's going to like have a big metropolitan jutting outside of the stage. There's going to be a movie screening theater downstairs that you could privately rent. There's going to be a green room for the Rocky Horror Picture Show. There's so much stuff going on. There's going to be a full bar. Like it's going to open in November. And it's going to be beautiful because the people that are doing it really love it and they are lovingly dedicated to restoring it and making great. It's going to have a 35 millimeter projector, a 70 millimeter projector that showed Night of the Living Dead in 1968 down at the Byam. So there's lots of history there. I could go on all day.
And how well do you speak Pittsburghese? Pittsburgh Magazine has a quiz of 7 questions.
Yeah. Take the quiz. My favorite expression right now is slow down, because when I broke down on 279 yesterday, people were going like 80 miles an hour past my disabled car, and it was kind of rude. So slow down.
At the grocery store, instead of a cart, you grab a blank.
Buggy.
Basket, trolley, buggy, wagon. Yeah, this is great. So read all about it in Pittsburgh Magazine. Christy, Doing anything super fun this weekend?
Getting a new car.
You got it. I'm sorry, your car, it's done, right?
It's done.
What are you going to get? What are you thinking?
Oh, I have no clue. I want something that gets me to restaurant to restaurant. That's it.
Okay. You're easy to please. Yeah. All right. Have a great weekend. Thank you. We'll see you next Thursday. The weekend, the Icy Light Kickoff and Rib Festival actually starts tonight, and that is an annual fan favorite. Then you've got Friday Night Lights. We're excited to be bringing you Central Catholic in Pine Richland from CMU Stadium. And I'm looking forward to joining an outstanding team. And they asked me to do the play-by-play. That's going to be a lot of fun. And that is the game of the week in high school football. A lot of great matchups. Then tomorrow at noon, Acrisure Stadium, Pitt and Duquesne. First time in 86 seasons that they will play on the gridiron. Then you got the Savannah Bananas in town Friday and Saturday. And so it's going to be culminated by big Labor Day parade on Monday starting at 10 o'clock. Meanwhile, you ask yourself, what else is going on? Aaron, you introduced me to the chicken lady. And
Mandy.
Remember the talk about this flu that goes through the poultry?
Yeah, it kind of showed up and went.
Yeah, and so we want to get an update because as the seasons change, the fall migration, birds move, they travel, and the bird flu is still a concern in the U.S., U.S. poultry, and here. And joining us from the USDA, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, Dr. Krislyn Wood Nicholson. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me on your show today to talk about defending your flock and avian influenza.
Yeah, so why should we be worried about it? What effect has it had so far?
Yes. So avian influenza, also known as bird flu, is a respiratory disease of birds caused by influenza A-type viruses. The main strain that we're most concerned about is the highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI for short. That strain of the virus is extremely contagious and deadly to poultry. We have been dealing with the HPAI outbreak for the past 3 years since February of 2022. It's spread through all 50 of our states and one U.S. territory and affected over 174 million birds. Many wild birds can carry HPAI and spread it without showing any signs of illness, and then they may infect our domestic poultry through direct or indirect contact.
I think it would surprise people to know how many people have chickens in their backyard.
Yes, there's an estimated amount of 11 million U.S. households that own backyard chickens in both rural and urban areas, probably in your Pittsburgh area.
So what is your message to everybody? What can we do about it, if anything?
Yes. So as we approach the fall migration period where the wild birds fly overhead, they may be infected with the virus and drop their feces or land in areas that have contact with birds. We want backyard flock owners to have some simple biosecurity measures that they are practicing even more so now than other times, such as preventing direct contact with the wild birds, especially ducks and geese. We've also seen the virus in vultures. So protecting from those wild birds, the direct contact as well as indirect contact, the feces, the virus can be in the feces and people can accidentally step in wild bird feces and bring the virus into their coop and spread it to their chickens. Also keeping things clean, the feeders and the waterers, you want to keep them clean and disinfected on a regular basis. And the coops or crates that the birds are held in and any other equipment that comes into the coop, wheelbarrows, feed bags, keeping that those materials clean and disinfected. Also limiting people that come into the coop only to who needs to be there, and then making sure they consider wearing dedicated shoes or disinfecting their shoes and disinfecting their hands as they handle their flock. And then limiting the area where the birds are kept, keep them in their designated area, not letting them wander out to ponds or areas on the property that could have attracted wild birds.
Dr. Krizlyn Wood-Nicholson with the USDA, thanks for the time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
So, Aaron, how many people have chickens in their backyard here? I know they try to con me into that.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah.
It's so funny because just like anything, I have several people in my life. I'm thinking, is this trending? Why is everybody asking if we're going to get chickens? I don't understand. But
yes, it is trending.
Yeah.
Where they have these, it's almost like an incubator setup mm-hmm. where you hatch the chicks and then I think you can either keep them or give them back.
Right. You can. I have now close friends of Vinny and ours. Like the husband always says, you know, he gets off work on Friday for the week, but then his other job starts because they have a lot of land, like 15 chickens, a rooster. it's a lot of work. So if you're going to do it, everything that Dr. Krizlyn said is valid for those people that are really doing it.
I think we should get Marty, Mandy. Since, you know, his two daughters are now at college. He has more free time at home.
Mm.
Get him some incubated chickens.
As a gift.
We'll ask him because he's going to be joining us. A lot of people are traveling over the weekend. Tens of millions of Americans for many a final summer getaway. And AAA says flights, hotels, car rentals are all generally a little cheaper this year.
What we're seeing from our booking data is that for domestic travel, you've got Seattle at the top of the list because Seattle is still one of those places where not only is the weather very nice this time of year, but also it's a cruise port for Alaska cruises. This is still Alaska cruise season, and those Alaska cruises have been very popular in recent years.
That's AAA spokesperson Aixa Diaz. The national average for a gallon of regular is $3.16. It was $3.33 last Labor Day, so it's actually down. You know, you're saving 15 cents
yeah,
a gallon
good
this
news.
Year.
Right.
Of course, our prices are higher in Pennsylvania because of our taxes.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we are going to check in with Marty Griffin. A lot of new information to share from what happened in Minneapolis.
We are all working tirelessly to uncover the full scope of what happened, to try and identify a motive why it happened.
Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara in the wake of yesterday's mass shooting at Annunciation Catholic School.
And we'll talk to Marty Griffin about the details and the mindset of the shooter.
Last night in St. Louis,
the Pirates take a 2-1 series lead with a 2-1 victory over the Cardinals. Bubba Chandler pitched four scoreless innings. He earned his first major league win.
Joe Block, Pirates broadcaster, he also is the first since 1989 in the majors to get a save in his first appearance and a win in his second.
Nice. Savannah Bananas, they're playing two games at PNC Park Friday and Saturday with a couple of players from the Pittsburgh area, Ryan Cox of Aliquippa, Raccoon Township, actually, and then Alex Ziegler of Butler.
Yeah, they are everywhere in town right now promoting this event. Not that they needed it to sell tickets. It sold out in minutes once it was announced they would be at PNC Park Friday and Saturday night.
A lot of weekends are going to be starting tomorrow, and that's a great way to kick it off with that ball game on Friday.
All right, thanks.